Confused Breakfast just hit number 7 on the podcast charts. Congratulations, guys. Wow. It's funny stuff. I love it. You know, I did the Mortal Kombat cry 29 years ago. Never really thought that it was going to be this big with all of these followers. The fan base is just continuing to build, even with the youngsters out there. I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm proud of you guys for hitting this mark. We love it. And this would not be complete without the Mortal Kombat cry. But for your podcast, it's going to be a little different. Confused Breakfast!
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the video rental store as a kid? The excitement of walking down the aisles, browsing the names and the artwork, and finally deciding on the movie you're going to take home with you? Sure, it's hard to beat the ease of the modern era and streaming platforms where you don't even have to leave your couch, but there was something truly special about making that trip as a child, picking a movie out by hand, and proving that Bigfoot is real on your drive home. Mm-hmm. On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. Did you get that? This isn't your first episode. You know what I'm saying. I'm your host, Mike Schulte, and joining me as always with more back hair than Sasquatch, Sean Pryor, and AJ Vince. How the heck are you?
I wish it wasn't true. I wish it wasn't true.
You know what? I got hit with I feel like you either get one of two things. Either you're overweight or you're hairy, and I'm just overweight.
Okay, so you're just completely hairless, just overweight.
Yeah, I'm not super hairy or anything. So just overweight.
See, I'm ripped as fuck.
Yeah, okay,
but great. I'm hairy.
Okay,
yeah, you know what I mean?
Sure.
I think I have like a patch of hair on my back that like is in the shape of Uruguay.
Okay.
I just catch glimpses of it sometimes, and while I'm getting out of the shower, and I feel like I'm like, is that a leech? No, it's just my back.
Not hair. Confused to be confused with the patch of hair of Uranus.
Never that's mind. Right. That's right.
All right. Good.
Uruguay
and Uranus.
Uruguayness. Yeah. We're back, guys.
Hey.
Freaking back.
I mean, to you guys, we never really left, but we're back.
We're back.
We're back in studio. We haven't seen each other in a little bit.
I know.
Well, and there's so many like exciting things that
there
happened.
Is.
Did you hear that audio
like,
that we played
tight.
After the intro song? So that was our new friend, Kyle Wyatt.
Yes.
He is the original voice of the Mortal Kombat yell cry from 29 years ago.
Super
the
cool.
The OG.
Like, he's the guy that did Mortal Kombat. Like, the guy that you imitated as a kid.
Isn't that
that was
crazy?
Him.
Oh, man.
He reached out to us. He heard our Mortal Kombat episode. He reached out to us, and he wanted to, like, hey, can I, like, help you guys out? If you can help me out, kind of a thing. So he gave us this cool intro, and we're going to kind of help him raise awareness for his cause. He's got a cameo right now, which you can look up, which, again, is Kyle Wyatt. And he's doing, like, you can do a Mortal Kombat kind of cameo for your friends and family, but all proceeds are going to A21, which ends human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, that's like a big deal for him. He's like such a genuine, cool guy. You can tell.
He seems so cool and down to earth.
Yeah. So we're going to keep playing that intro for a little bit. We're going to do a little stuff on our TikTok to draw some attention to it. But consider, I mean, it's a very affordable cameo. It's cool. He's a nice guy. Look him up, Kyle Wyatt on Cameo. And he's also on TikTok. It's Ruffian20, at Ruffian20 on TikTok. Really funny guy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always down to get some charity stuff out there. That's really cool of him to do that.
Yeah.
And to hear the guy yell Confused Breakfast in the Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know why we're still doing this show.
Just an exclamation point to this whole thing. I think it should be not even just one exclamation point, like a million of them, right? Because that's how powerful that voice is
in capital letters.
Yeah.
Well, let's keep moving along. Let's hit review time.
Ooh. Review time.
So today, we're going to read two reviews because they are coming in fast. Now, this doesn't mean you cannot, you still have to leave us a review.
Oh, yeah.
We just want to double up on them real quick.
And we're talking about you.
Yeah, you.
That's right.
You know who you are.
If you're thinking me, like point at yourself being like me, like Travis Bickle in Taxi Driver, That's you, my friend. You
talking to me?
That's right.
So this first one's from Launchpad 95, entitled "Great Listen." So much enjoyment listening about so many of my favorite movies, TV shows, and stuff from childhood. Love the unfiltered banter and the way you guys set up your show's itinerary. A joy to listen. Feel like I actually know you guys. Keep it up.
Cool.
You definitely don't know us.
You don't know us.
And you're never gonna.
You don't know us at all, man.
You don't know me. This is fake shit.
We're so awesome and huge and famous and popular and stuff. We don't like meeting new people.
This is a show. We're putting on a performance. I'm sorry. Yeah. We're actually pretty big dicks. Yeah. And we have pretty big dicks.
Whoa.
Usually it's the opposite, isn't it? If you're a big dick, you got a small dick. Like the big truck syndrome. Right. You know?
Oh, yeah.
No, no, it's average.
Okay.
An average dick.
I am an average. So the second one's called "I Just Want to Thank Y'all" from Kenneth Marciano. He said, "Thank you guys so much. This podcast is great. Born in 87 and y'all sending me right back to the 90s. That's what we came here to do.
Nice. Yes.
Thanks, man.
Well, I think our movie today is from 87. So this is for you, dude.
Yeah. Weird. This was like right for you, man. Yeah. So keep leaving those 5-star reviews. Don't be scared. Like we need to overpower the 2 bad reviews. We got another bad review. It was a 3-star.
Yeah.
But again, just like the damn 1-star, they didn't leave any notes or funny feedback.
Yeah.
They don't want to show their face, man. And that's, you know what? That's just more power to good reviewers. Yeah. Just being like, hey, and also call out to the bad reviewers. That's what you could write in your good review. Is like, yeah. I don't know why anybody would not say anything and just leave 3 stars and that's it. Yeah.
3 stars is like the most ambiguous thing you could do. That's worse than a 1-star. That's like,
I agree.
That's the star equivalent. That's the rating star equivalent of
75 on IMDb.
Well, I'm gonna keep listening.
I'll probably
I'm not gonna like that I do it. It's like, what is going on?
So keep hitting those reviews, and don't forget, you can leave us a voicemail. We actually got a dope voicemail today. I'm so excited to play this for you.
Nice.
This actually comes from Down Under, Australia. You ready to hear this?
Are you serious?
Here we go, baby.
Hello, boys. It's Digby here, all the way from Australia. And I just wanted to say you guys do an amazing podcast. I've just discovered you thanks to TikTok. And our most recent one I listened to was the Mortal Kombat episode. Really surprised you didn't point out what a terrible, terrible fighter Johnny Cage is in the beginning of the movie. Not sure if that was supposed to be like that or not, but I just thought worth a mention. Anyway, for those who doubt Australians exist, I am not an actor. I'm a real person. I'm on the phone, sitting in my living room, painting, listening to the Confused Breakfast podcast right now. Boys, love it. Keep up the good work. Look forward to seeing what comes next. See you later.
Digby down in Australia, man. The Australians are real. They just proved it. We proved it on our podcast.
Oh my gosh. That is amazing. Around the world listening to a little podcast in Iowa.
Swisher, Iowa.
What a cool thing, man. Thanks so much for calling in and doing that. That's great.
And calling that out, too. I guess he is a kind of a bad fighter.
He is really bad, actually.
That's a great point. You're absolutely right. I wonder, just since you're involved in this conversation now, friend, I wonder if it's like, oh, he's got to kind of play dumb it down because he's got these stuntmen.
True,
you know?
That's the way I did it.
Yeah,
true.
Okay, all right.
And he had Steven Spielberg as a director, trying to have him tone it down a little bit.
Yeah. We don't want real fighting. We want cinema fighting, and that's definite Steven Spielberg note.
Steven Spielberg. So if you want to leave a voicemail for us, I mean, we will take them. We will gladly play them on air. You can call us at 319-804-9596. Give us a call. And one last thing, a couple more little housekeeping things before we get into this. TikTok, which you can follow us on.
Yeah.
We just got another viral video.
Woo!
It was the Back to the Future correlation with Goonies.
Yeah.
It's over 2 million views, but here's what I noticed after seeing it happen with the first video.
Yeah, yeah.
You get up to 1 million views and people are like, this is so cool. Oh my God, you guys, wow, this is great content. You go over 1 million, fuck you, stupid people. I hate everything about you. This video sucks. You suck. What the hell are they even talking about?
Yeah, maybe they're right. I don't know.
I don't know.
I didn't even like the video, so it's fine. You know?
I didn't even like
it. I saw it come up on my TikTok. I'm like, fuck that. You know, so whatever.
I don't know. People, the jealousy really comes out, I guess, because a lot of these are coming from people with channels with like
100 videos and they have one subscriber, and then you got us just killing the game.
Well, I'm gonna go through those negative comments. I'm gonna follow all of those people. Just why not?
Well,
just give a little like, you know?
Kill them with kindness, baby.
It's been really great to see that. I love like kind of getting into the debates. Like I kind of try to sneak in to the comments like under the radar.
I know you do.
and I try to pick apart some of the things, and that's been a lot of fun for me. So if you guys are on there, please just say hi.
I like being extremely sarcastic about it and just saying, "Wow, I didn't know that at all."
I mean, but at the time I did because I was on the show.
That's right. That was a really fun one though, because like I watched it a couple times over. Yeah. I was like, God. That's a really good point. Oh my gosh, it's amazing.
I mean, I thought it was amazing.
One guy, the one thing I will say is he said, "Do you think this Goonies was a part of the
alternate reality,
the one pine or the twin pine?"
Now it's just blowing minds like, at this point. Dude,
I know.
Once we get to Back to the Future, it's gonna be. We might take like 3 hours on it
because it might have to be a multiple episode.
I think we might just have to do a series. You know, I don't know, right. But that movie is very complicated just because of the time travel.
Absolutely.
Well, and last thing, if you want to be involved, if you love us and you want to be involved in helping to pick future movies like Back to the Future, we do have a Patreon. We do this for free. We do spend a lot of time, but you can help. Like, if you're truly enjoying this is free content. You can throw a little money into our pockets for as little as $3. You can just support for $5. We got behind the scenes chats. We've got we did some content on Goonies, on Mortal Kombat today. After we're done filming this, we're going to talk conspiracy theories and myths. So just some extra content out there for $5 a month. And for 10, you get to not only get mentioned on the episodes, but you get to help us pick upcoming movies and get mentioned too, like Dane, Alicia, Joel, Jordan, Nick, Marula.
Oh,
hey,
he's the only one with a full name, and Tony B. Those are our $10 patrons. We love you guys. So consider joining. Type in Confused Breakfast on Patreon and help us get super rich.
Just got that paycheck today, dude. Rolling in it.
Hashtag gas money.
Gas money. Gas money and monster money.
And monster money.
That gold monster. You guys tried it? I'm saying. Get on our Patreon, guys, because right now we have a post up there asking for what kind of merch you'd kind of like. So like koozies, some shirt designs. We have one up there right now. See if you guys like that, but definitely get that a look and get your 2 cents in there.
Yep.
And then get your $10 in there.
Okay.
So speaking of complete myths like getting rich on podcasting, it's time to talk about another myth, everybody. Today we're diving into an 80s movie that brought the myth of Bigfoot to life, gave him a very cliche name, and made us fall in love with a 7-foot-tall smelly beast.
Yay.
We're of course talking about 1987's Harry and the Hendersons. But before we get started with the full movie breakdown, we like to get all that pertinent and important background info out, and that's where scene comes in. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Harry and the Hendersons, 1987, as Mike just said, produced by William Dear and a Darlin, because his name's spelled D-E-A-R. So I don't know. Aww. Just this being his movie, it's just like, what a deer, you know? Produced by William Dear, Richard Vane, and an uncredited Steven Spielberg. Written by William Dear, just a darling. Bill Martin and Ezra Rappaport. Makeup by Rick Baker. Academy Award winner for American Werewolf in London, won the first ever best makeup award for that movie, and countless other huge horror movies. He did the remake of Planet of the Apes. He's a legend next to Dick Smith and Tom Savini and all those guys. He's one of the best, and honestly, we'll talk about it later, but this might be, he says this is his best work that he's ever done and his favorite work.
Yeah, I heard in a little tidbit that he's been nominated for that category 11 times and he's won it like 7 times.
He basically created the category.
That's insane.
Because of American Werewolf in London. It was just like, we have to now, you know?
Wild.
Music by Bruce Broughton, which is pretty good, like considering the movies that we've done on the podcast so far, with it, well, a lot of it being shit. I kind of like the score in this movie.
Mortal Kombat.
God damn it. Directed by William Dear, that darling himself. Starring John Lithgow, Melinda Dillon, Margaret Langrick, Joshua Rudoy, Rudoy, Kevin Peter Hall, David Suchet, Don Ameche, and M. Emmett Walsh. Released in 1987, directed by William Deere, who directed episodes of SNL and Amazing Stories, Harry got his name from co-writer William Martin, credited as Bill Martin in the film, who named Harry after Harry Nilsson, the singer. Yeah. Martin wrote several songs for Harry Nilsson's 1969 album called Harry. And Martin himself actually appears in the album's cover wearing a bear suit. So it's just like foreshadowing, I guess. That's
great.
Kevin Peter Hall, who plays Harry, is 6 foot six. I think I got that wrong, actually.
You
I think
do have that wrong.
7 foot two.
7 foot two.
Okay. 7 foot two, who also played Predator that same year.
Big year for him.
In the film no Predator. Thank you. and Predator 2, but passed away in 1991, probably just from being so tall.
No, do you want to know? Do you want to know really why?
Yes.
Yeah, he was 35. Wow. He died of AIDS, which he contracted through a blood transfusion a few months before.
Fuck,
that's terrible.
God damn it!
Well, I know, right?
Well, we're done.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ruin it. we give information, Alan. You
know, no, he's incredible. I mean, like we don't have a lot of actors like that stand out like that these days. Like Doug Jones, I think, is one who does a lot of Guillermo del Toro movies. He's an incredible like physical actor presence. That's a super bummer. The UK title for this movie is Bigfoot and the Hendersons because they thought that the marketing was like underplaying the movie by being called Harry and the Hendersons. So they wanted people to be like, what is this? And a lot of the key art and like the posters and stuff like that were like very vague. They weren't showing Harry at all. And so they came up with this ad campaign to just call it Bigfoot and put him like right on the poster, big as can be.
It's very true. If you just say, oh, Harry and the Hendersons, I don't.
What is that? Yeah, exactly.
What is that movie? I don't understand.
There's actually a spinoff TV series that starred Bruce Davison, lasted 3 seasons.
What?
If you can believe it or not.
I don't think I watched a single episode.
No, I didn't even know this. And brought back Kevin Peter Hall for Harry. And I think it pretty much ended because it was he passed away.
Okay.
Rick Baker won an Oscar for this movie, and he said it was his favorite creation. Like I said, Harry was overshadowed by Beverly Hills Cop and The Untouchables that same year. It's a huge, gigantic year for movies this year.
I think it's our first 1987 movie, though.
Right.
I think it's the first one we've done.
Nice. We will cover that entire year, pretty much. There was another Bigfoot movie in 1987 called Bigfoot that was made for TV, but had some similarities, including a family in the woods coming across a Bigfoot, and they're actually nice. So that's like really the only similarity. That's all I got for this guy. We will have a little bit more tidbits as we go along.
Cool. Well, if you've been listening to the show, you know that next we like to give the audience just a little insight to what we thought about the movie the first time we saw it. This is Sean's pick. So Sean, I mean, tell us what you remember the first time you saw it, how many times you've seen it, what your rating was as a kid.
Like I've been saying with all these movies, it's me and my brother watch this all the time. Had to be VHS, maybe like a burnt one, not a burnt one, like an illegal taped one off of TV. Yeah.
Fast forward through the commercials.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. But you get like just a glimpse of the Campbell's one and then it's just kind of cool. But I loved it. I watched it all the time. Back then I was probably like a 9, I'd say like a 9.2.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah.
9.2. Wow.
I was really into this movie.
Wow.
Age, what did you think?
I've never seen this movie.
I was waiting for it. I knew it. I felt like one of us was going to. Didn't we make a rule that at least two of us have had to have seen the movie?
I think so.
Okay, good. Because I know I've seen it, but I can barely remember. Okay.
I was actually afraid this was going to be a rule breaker. But I'd never seen it. My brother Ray, I think, is somebody who watched this movie a lot. He, you know, he's he's 10 years older than me. He's my oldest brother. He's responsible for a lot of things in my life when it comes to nostalgia and, you know, him showing me movies, him showing me music and like giving me my first bass guitar and doing all these things. Big influence in my life. And he talked about this movie I've never seen it.
Damn, so, dude. Damn.
So I remember the I do remember the poster. I remember, like, you know, his big grin on there and the kind of the family, I think, behind him. But, and he's like, you know, he always, oh, yes, it's kind of like Harry and the Hendersons. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. So, so yeah, this was actually first real time really getting to sit down and watch and go through this movie.
I mean, for me, I do remember renting it. I do remember, I know I've seen it, okay. Right? I just, it was just, I didn't, rewatching it, I didn't remember much of it, but I know I've seen it. And I think I figured it out. I was absolutely terrified of two things. Three things: thunderstorms,
yeah,
UFOs,
yep,
and Bigfoot.
Yeah,
Bigfoot. I we will explain it on the Patreon episode after this. We'll dive into it more. But I was terrified of Bigfoot and Sasquatch. And I know this was like happy, like, oh, he's a nice guy. But nah, I think I probably only said, yeah, I'm good with that once or twice. So I just don't remember much of it. But the fact that I didn't watch it that many times gives it. I it's a four for me probably because yeah. It wasn't up there for me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go.
Nice.
Okay.
Well, and moving before we dive into the scene by scene breakdown.
I'm so worried.
Right oh now. Man! Before we get into the film breakdown, we're gonna go scene by scene. AJ always hooks us up with the ratings and reviews of critics and fans alike from when this movie came out. I'm excited for this one.
All right. So today's version of this is going to be a guessing game for you guys, kind of like I've done a couple times in the past. But you're gonna tell me what you think the rating is after I read you the review.
Okay.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. Trust me. That being said, I always start with the tomato meter. Tomato meter is 43% critical reviews.
That's the one I saw.
Is that what you saw?
Yeah.
Now, 54% by the audiences.
Okay.
Right, so a little bit more forgiving there, a little bit more happy about what they're reviewing. IMDb is a 6.0. And Metascore 42, again, right on par. Metascore is right in line with your critics and critical reviews.
Gotcha. 6.0 okay. IMDb. That's
6.0.
That's not bad.
Yeah, and no, not at all. So let's kick this off. Okay. This is from The Hollywood Reporter. This is and this is Metascore. So this is 1 to 100. You guys tell me what you think it is. The Hollywood Reporter. Harry and the Hendersons is a disappointment.
Okay. That's it?
That's it. No, 1 to 500.
Zero.
Or 1 to 100. Sorry.
I'm going to go 50.
50. That's what it is. Sean.
50 is not it. 50 is average. It's not a disappointment.
Correct. Is that like 1987 clickbait?
Yeah, I know. I'm going to give you this one. Yeah. This is from Variety. Harry and the Hendersons is proof that the folks at Amblin Entertainment, a.k.a. Steven Spielberg's production company, can't keep using the same E.T. formula for every kiddie pick.
Okay.
Okay.
1 to 100.
You go first, Mike.
Zero.
I'm going to go...
50.
60.
30.
Damn. Okay.
All right.
So did I win that one?
You win this
okay, one. Okay, thanks.
Close one and one. Going over. So this is called Pure Garbage.
Okay.
By Socrates 4 on 2019.
So great.
Sorry. Harry and the Hendersons is a movie about a family that befriends a Bigfoot. The plot sounds silly, but they must have pulled it off if they decided to make a movie of it, right? Wrong. I found nothing good in this film. Some children may find it amusing, I'm sure, but they would have done better to make another movie instead of this. It's really bad. Do not recommend.
Oh, man.
That is from IMDb. That's 1 through 10. 1 out of 10.
I'm going to go 20. Or sorry, 2.
2.
Okay. 2. Yeah. 3.
3. It is a 3-star review. So this is going to be interesting. I'm just going to take a couple of picks from this, okay? I had a really nice time with it. From what I can remember, this movie was successful enough to be made into a TV series. Rick Baker rightfully won the Oscar for makeup. It was great to see John Lithgow, in terms of endearment, in a non-villain role. It's also nice to see Donna Mesh from Trading Places in a movie. And I was delighted to see David Suchet as a French hunter. I never thought I'd say this about a family movie, but the ending was awesome. I regret that I haven't seen this one as a kid. If I had kids in the future, I will make sure they would watch it.
Okay.
Is that a 1 through 10?
This is a 1 through 10.
4.
8.
2.
What the fuck is going on?
So they just don't know how to add.
Nobody knows what they're doing when it comes to the reviews of these movies.
I really love this movie. What did you give it? A 2.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the end of the guessing game. I'm going to finish you up with a couple of these.
Were we tied? Was that it?
I think we're tied.
I think you're tied.
Right, till next time, Mike.
Okay. Till next time, bro.
All right, well, here's the deal breaker. Here's the rubber match, all right? What do you get when you cross King Kong with E.T.? Harry and the Hendersons is what? And it's a delightful enough offspring. Often funny, occasionally charming, and always mighty to eager to please. Too eager at times. But that's a forgivable flaw in an otherwise engaging hybrid. This is 1 through 100.
So I'm going to follow AJ's formula of people not knowing and say 100.
I'm going to go. Dude, I can't tell.
This is what I'm saying.
50.
75.
Okay. Well, that was a tie.
So this is what I'm saying. It's like people are like, oh, I love this movie. 2.
75 is a C.
This movie sucks. 6. It's like, what are you doing? So this is my favorite one, I think. And this is from the New York Times. You can guess if you want to, but this is a little bit more obvious. Attention must be paid when a movie is as aggressively awful as Harry and the Hendersons. Though it's so pinheaded that it could be the last of its inbred line, it's not likely to spawn. There it is, guys. There's your reviews. Thanks for playing along, and hopefully you're playing along at home. Yeah. There it is for reviews of Harry and the Hendersons.
Wow. That was a journey, man.
Isn't that wild? People just they didn't want to bash it, but then they didn't bash it in, like, talking about it, but then they're just
in the stars.
2.
0.
Like, 0.
Negative 4.
10. Like, what? So
to be fair, some of our ratings that we gave when we went back and looked at it, we're like, what the hell are we thinking?
That's fair.
What I question on, like, who gave, or yeah, Santa Claus, like, who
you gave Karate Kid 10?
Well, 10, and then I think I asked who gave Santa Claus like a 9.5. it was me. Like, oh, shit.
Who did that? It was me. Wow. Well, boys, what do you say we head out on a friendship camping adventure, bring our guns, and hopefully catch one of the elusive mystical creatures of all time? Woo. Here we go. Following a camping trip in the nearby Cascade Mountains, George Henderson drives home to suburban Seattle with his family when he hits a large, hairy creature in the road with his station wagon. George discovers that they have hit a Sasquatch. Believing it to be dead and the key to fame and fortune, the family straps the creature to the roof of their car and heads home.
Yeah, dog.
Classic, classic, classic 80s formula for an intro. The driving montage. Yeah. We already had it with Over the Top. I mean, to name another one, Great Outdoors. It's just the driving montage. That's how you
totally
open the movie.
Great Outdoors. Like, it reminds me of that so much, just because of that family. And well, off of that, what do you guys think of the family? Like, do you like them?
Do I like them right at the beginning or when the movie's over?
Do you like them right at the beginning? Are you like into them?
I was not into the family right away.
Damn.
I could kind of care less about this family for some reason.
they came around.
Like, no pun intended. That's just like the most white bread thing I've ever seen in my life. That you're just like, we're tired. It's buggy out here. Yeah.
I got a rabbit.
Yeah. It's like, no, it's my first kill. My first blood. And you're just like, oh, I'm a nerd, but I'm not. Like, I don't, like, what the fuck? So, that was my problem. And, like, what's the mom's name? The actress that plays her?
Melinda Dillon.
I love her. I do really like her.
Fucking Close Encounters, yeah. Christmas Story Mom.
Man, like, I love her. And, like, I honestly, one of the big things for me, like, really focusing on the family was, like, because I really like her.
Yeah.
You know?
She's great.
Yeah. And I was still just having a tough time. I'm like, is there a laugh track that they forgot to that they left out of this movie? Is that what's going on here? I think that's what happened here. So,
but to be fair, as the movie went on, I came around on a lot of them. Okay. Like, I didn't, the sisters, like, is she 30?
Yeah.
What's going on? Because she looks really weirdly terrible at the beginning, but then she really And this, like, I remember actually specifically having kind of a crush on her at the end of the movie, but not at the beginning.
Okay.
You know, like, she just looked like a 30-year-old heavy smoker. She did. And then she kind of cleans up a little bit.
Early onset grays.
She does have that, like teenage angst throughout the entire, which is just like, okay, yeah, 80s. She's straight out of a John Hughes movie that's, you know, that we haven't seen yet. And, well, we've seen 1,000 times, actually.
Yeah.
But there was that cliche to her where it's just like, everything's annoying. Yeah. Everything. Like, oh, I'm going to camping with my family this weekend. I can't hang out with Johnny.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of bullshit.
If she had a cell phone, she'd be on it.
Yes, you know what I mean? Exactly.
Like, that's the thing. And so that was kind of my equal annoyance with the brother, though, too, is you're just like, it's just like everything's cool. Everything's cool. Shoot it. Oh, it smells terrible.
He's got an unquenchable bloodthirst, that fucking kid.
I'm surprised he didn't have blood under his eyes. Shit.
Shoot it, Dad.
I think it's already dead. Jesus, calm the fuck down.
No, that's what I'm saying.
His name was Ernie, though, and I really did grow to like Ernie, and I thought actually that kid was a really good, like, I thought he did a great job as an actor.
Usually hate kid actors.
Completely.
You usually can't fucking stand him. This guy is pretty cool.
I always liked him.
I always felt for him, especially like later on when like there's something involving the dog.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this kid. I think he's good.
And sure. I love that line too. When Ernie goes, "Holy shit!"
Yeah.
Sorry, Dad. And George says, "That's okay. I was looking for the right words."
I thought that was a pretty good
story too.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah. What is the type of comedy in this movie? You know, and that was kind of I felt like it was very sitcom-y. It was almost like this was like some sitcom, but it was on HBO because they could swear. And you're like, oh shit. Sorry, Dad. Oh, I was looking for the right words. And you're just like that's the kind of like thing I was like, where's the laugh track?
Right, right.
I don't get the comedy, I guess.
It had that 80s cheese right from the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like as family movie as you can get. Like this is like the, to me anyway, like the epitome of family like movie. Like this would be on the rental racks, it would be like the first family movie. Yeah. Even though they're alphabetical, it would be Harry Anderson's first, and right. then the A's. I don't know, it's got like a white clamshell box. Mm-hmm. You know, but somehow it kind of just gets over that hump for me, where it's just like family films, I'm just like, kind of cheesy. And but the performances, especially from John Lithgow and Harry, the makeup effects and everything like that is just like, whoa, this is a little bit more elevated than just like a regular family Disney kind of type movie. But
yeah,
here's a fun fact for you. The station wagon that they had was a 1974 Limited Country Squire.
Yes.
Which of course, if you recognized, was the exact same vehicle for National Lampoon's Vacation.
Okay.
The family truckster. That was a 1979 version of that.
Okay.
And this was the 1970.
Okay.
Famous vehicle
it
right
just,
there.
Like, you know what? That's probably why Harry got hit by the thing, is because it was camouflaged with all the wood.
Goddamn boat, like, too. That thing floats, dude.
It also kind of has the same trajectory throughout the movie as like Lethal Weapon 2.
Yeah.
There's like a front end damage, and there's side damage, and then there's like a top end damage, and then someone steals it to chase the good guys with it. Same thing happens in Lethal Weapon 2.
Might have been the same car, man.
It's kind of its own character in the movie, you know? Yeah. He's even worried about it later on, saying, "Look what he's doing to my paint job," when the thing's already destroyed, you know. But it is the car is almost as much of a character as anything.
Completely.
When they hit him, that footage to me, like the sunset in the background, the background, and then Harry in the foreground, like running, like that quick cut. That's as iconic to me as that Patterson-Gimlin footage that, like, that's so famous. It's just like the striding, like walking, you know that. When I saw that again, I was like, oh yeah, oh god, yeah, I know this movie. Yeah, you know, I was just taken right back to childhood watching this for like the 17th time. Yeah.
They kind of do the same thing that Ninja Turtles did, where it just, you're like, okay, when are you gonna show him?
Yeah.
When are you gonna show him? And like, they don't. They do the quick cut, like you said, and then he's dead on the ground. Mm-hmm. And you can't see his face. And it's just kind of a buildup. Like, come on, I want to see it.
I made a note too. They do a really good job of not showing him right away.
Yeah.
Until
they show him.
Until they really show him. But yeah.
This was one of my things that I was just like, wow, this scene's really long. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be this long. This movie in general is about a half hour too long. Just gonna say that.
I will agree with that.
But,
yes.
But that being said, like at this point, you're like, whew, yep. They showed his hand four times, and there's John's reaction again, and there he's talking to his kid again, and I'm like, wow, man, this is going on a long time.
He sure does stink.
Wow, he smells.
Okay.
Smell-o-vision. Might as well be, because you're telling me eight times, you know, that kind of a thing.
You know, so. I meant to keep this up. I did it for Home Alone, where we said that if there was such a thing as cell phones, how the movie would have ended, thing.
Yep.
I forgot to do that moving forward, but on this one, it's the truth. Like, they pull out their cell phone, they call a park ranger, the police, National Enquirer, and movie's over.
Right, exactly.
But we don't have cell phones, so we got to tie him to the roof of our car and drive him home to our house. What were they going to do when they got there?
Well, leave him in the garage tied to this thing, I guess?
This is kind of that, it's like an Encino Man. This is where Encino Man got
you. Okay. So okay.
They're just like,
he's not there.
And now we got to keep it. It's like, what happened? Oh no. It's like, what? Well, we never saw this coming. And it's like, that was my thought. Whose initial thought is, let's fucking take it home. And then we'll take it to the National Enquirer. Then we'll get the fame and fortune. And you're just like, no, you don't think to just be like, and maybe again, like my brain, we had cell phones, or at least there was probably like a landline, like down the way. It's a park, right? Yeah. And you're just like, you just go down the way. Hey, somebody stay here. And then I'm going to go down and make a call, and we'll get a park ranger out here. Do the right thing.
That's how they die, by the way, just so you know.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah. And that would, like you say, movie's over.
Yep. It's like wow. That is a Bigfoot. Let's do something with it.
Yeah. Let's call the National Enquirer. Can we at least make a pact right now on air that we're going to do Encino Man at some point?
Oh yeah.
Okay, good. I just want to have that on tape. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
I mean, it's pretty much the same movie.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So I just have to say, he wakes up on top of the car, and then they get scared, and they do that all over again.
Okay, you're right. They didn't have to do. They could have saved the scare for when they were home, right?
Yeah. Like. There wasn't even any difference between that and the first time. It was it's the first time. Oh, good thing I brought my gun. Yeah. Is it dead? Yeah, it's definitely dead. All right. Well, let's put it to the top of the roof.
Do it again.
And it's like, screech. It's like, is it dead? Yeah, it's definitely
pretty
dead.
Sure it's dead.
There it is again. I'm not going to shoot it this time. Let's get it back up on there. It's like, really? Did we need to? All right, fine.
It was just two of the same scenes sandwiched with a Sasquatch face smiling and screaming.
It's pretty good.
Seriously.
All right, so that night, George goes to the garage to examine the Sasquatch and discovers it was alive and has escaped. He finds the creature in the kitchen. After a few mishaps involving the Sasquatch breaking things in the house, the family realizes the creature is intelligent and overall friendly. The family bonds with the Sasquatch, and George has a change of heart. Instead of shooting him and planning to make money from the creature, he decides to return him to the wilderness.
So they get home and leave him in the garage. Like, you're just, your mentality is just like, yeah, we're just going to sleep on it.
Sleep well on it. We're going to fall asleep real nice tonight.
Real nice. Yeah. Like, how do you just go to sleep with a Sasquatch? You saw his face. You think he's dead, but obviously he's got nine lives.
Yeah.
You know, like, if I were to discover like a human hybrid alien or something like that, and it was like dead, I'd be like, yeah, I'll just leave it where it is, and I'll just put it on my couch and let it sleep there, and I'll close my door and I'll be just good. I'll just go to sleep.
Right.
No.
When I first got my dog Scout, who is a Husky Malamute mix, he's a good sized dog.
He's scary.
You guys know him, right?
Breakthrough and Conquer.
Mike knows him too well from the Breakthrough and Conquer. And
he's a sweetheart to me.
And he is. He is a big sweetheart. But the first night that I got that dog, I didn't leave, like, we slept in the same room. I didn't trust a damn thing. Yep. I was like, there's no way. I have to keep an eye on it at all times.
You're bringing a beast.
You're bringing this
into your home.
Absolute mammoth animal into your house. And you're just like, yeah, just leave him on top of the car. I'm too tired to unpack tonight. Like, what are you talking about?
Sorry, honey, I gotta turn my pillow over. You know, I can't. I get too hot at night. Yeah. Cool. You know, like, just like nonchalant. And you're fucking small, the smallest kid I've ever seen.
Yeah,
I think is Ernie.
Yeah,
like, could just like tear his head off and drink his blood. You know, like, I'm just like, what?
Pop the top like a goddamn can of tab. Like, yeah. And you're just
like AJ's fatality move.
Exactly. He just pulls an AJ, just drinks that blood.
So that's like the horror movie thing, though, too, that you're touching on. Like when they kill the horror person.
Yeah.
No, empty your clip. Mm-hmm. Put another clip in it. Empty that one, yep. Put another clip in it, empty that.
Yep.
You do not just go, I don't know, I think he's dead.
Thank God, poke it with my gun a couple of times.
Cut Bigfoot's head off have to before you take him home.
That's
you right. Do that.
That's what you need to
do. It's the only way you sleep.
That's what's going to happen when you send it to science. You may as well save him a step. Like, just get it done. Let's go.
When he does discover Harry in back in the house in the fridge and stuff like that, it reminded me so much of a Spielberg moment where I'm just like, this, I was not surprised to see Spielberg's name on this with this scene, because he's got the flashlight, he drops it on the ground and it's rolling and you can see Harry's silhouette.
Yep. That was pretty good.
John Lithgow slowly turning behind him and then reveals Harry himself. I'm like, that is such a Spielberg moment right there. Mm.
But you're right. Like, they didn't need the face on the station wagon, because that could have been the reveal moment.
That's true.
That could have been it. But I mean, it didn't bother me either way. It's like they could have done that.
Maybe they just wanted to like cement in that he's like got a happy face.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Like just to cement that family picture moment, you know, instead of just like, wow, all we know of him so far is that he's a Sasquatch and he's scary and he could be alive. You
That's
know?
All we know.
And then you see him in the kitchen and it's scary as fuck. And the kids would be like, what the fuck did you bring me to, dude?
Yeah.
So Kevin Peter Hall was 7'2", but they said with makeup and costume, he was 8 feet tall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which you don't get that. That's computer anime. That's Goro from Mortal Kombat, a guy wearing a thing. No, that's like a legitimate person that's 8 feet tall. John Lithgow is 6'4".
Right.
Which is really tall. And he is just dwarfed by, I mean, that was one of the coolest things for me, is just genuinely seeing how big that creature was.
Well, I think they adjusted the costume for Lithgow, because when he got cast, they're like, well, shit, you cast the 6'4" actor.
Yeah.
And so I think they had to adjust it to make it look like, you know, he could tower over him and overpower him, because
that Lithgow's makes sense.
Fucking gigantic.
Could have got Tom Cruise or something like that. You know?
Gigantic cock, too.
Oh, Jesus. God.
I don't know. I mean, we're the tidbits, you know.
I do want to
not his.
I do want to clear the air on the idea of not that. I do want to clear the air, as we've talked about before, and like being a tangible outfit, the makeup, it's real. You know, I love that in this movie.
It is outstanding.
Yes. It is
amazing.
It is amazing. It's you don't see a seam. You don't see any cracks in the makeup or anything like that, or like the process that went into him, and it's. It's very believable to me. He's got a lot of great mouth and face emotion and movement and all that stuff. I really do like that about this movie. That being said, on the other end is...
You always lead in with the compliment. You
know, compliment and then sandwich. You come in,
formula.
But then you come back with a compliment after the negative. Let's hear it.
There's always... every time there's... The problem is, for me, is that it's so much of a staple of this movie. Obviously, it's Harry and the Hendersons, but it's a lot of everyone else just being in shock and awe of him. There is more standing around in this movie than like a Dragon Ball Z episode, man. Like, and just being like, oh my God, there's a, what's going, oh my God. And like, and as they're all watching, like, this was very funny to me, but I don't know if it was very funny in the right way. In the fact that, like, they're all walking into the kitchen like, oh, what's going on? I heard Santa Claus out. And it's like, what the fuck? And you're just, it's like, and then one after the other, it's like, then Ernie comes in. It's like, oh, fuck kid.
Oh, wow, he's so big.
He's so big. And, like, you know, everyone kind of comes in. And, again, like, this is the sitcom aspect. Yeah. If you were on a stage, they'd all be walking in one after the other to kind of do this and introduce themselves to Harry almost.
That's true.
And I like, there's part of me that loves it. And then there's part of me that I'm just like, but this isn't a movie. So I don't know.
I'm like taken, just like all of the ideas that they had with Harry just roaming around the house and stuff like that. And like, he's inside the house and they're watching him from outside the house while he's like messing with shit. He like discovers the deer and everything like that.
Oh dear.
Oh dear.
Which has so many different meanings.
Yeah, exactly. Plays on that word.
And then like with the fish and like, or like he's one woman I really like is he's like messing with her plants or something like that. And, he's very sassy.
Yeah.
When he's like seeing them out the window, he's like eating the plants and he's just kind of like throws the plant at her outside the window. I don't know. I just really like his personality in it.
I love the back and forth that gets going when they finally get it going.
Yeah.
But like, and that, like I do, I love that. Like, when I liked when he gets scolded by the sister, and it's her corsage, and like, you ate my corsage, and like, you can't do that, and like he's like wait a second, and then you kind of realize like, quit fucking yelling at me. Who the hell do you think you're talking to?
Wait, I'm bigger than you.
I'm bigger. So I thought that was a really fun back and forth, very cute, you know.
Yeah, his like, it's amazing to see. You're right. It's like the seams are just not there, and it's crazy because a lot of the facial stuff is animatronics.
Yeah,
and like we've seen with Goro, that thing costs over $1 million. You know.
Yeah,
I can't imagine what this thing was.
Oh, man.
I mean, maybe even cheaper, and it was just the genius of Rick Baker.
That's very true.
But there's like I'm just like, that's Bigfoot, man. I can't. Isn't
that's very
I
true.
I don't see a human in a costume at all.
No, I didn't either.
It's incredible.
Yeah. You know, even when we talked about, when you talk about Ninja Turtles, you're still like, I know that's a person in a suit. Like, and I didn't feel that way watching this movie. I was like, that's a person in a suit.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that way.
No. Did you catch the subtle slut shaming on the daughter there during that scene?
Oh wait,
yeah, she goes. Well, clearly he's a male.
Yeah,
and they go, how do you know that? And then they go, oh, like our daughter's a slut. Nah. That's how she knows what dicks look like.
She looks straight down at the dick. I'm like, things got to be big as fuck. Dude. Like,
did you see him lift that foot to John Lithgow's face? And John Lithgow's got a long face. You know, he's that foot towering.
The one thing that I didn't like though is like, if for as long as this movie is, they really rushed the we love him.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
They went from like, this guy like was just terrorizing their house and he was gonna shoot him to never mind, we love this creature. We want to set him free. That was very rushed in a very long movie.
That smile though, dude.
I know.
That smile is just that I posted on my Instagram if you guys follow me there.
That was Sean, the shot.
Sean 237. I'm just like that. It's just so, it, like, I laugh with that image. I want that image just to wake up to, you know, I want that like tattooed on my like wrist or something, just so I can look at it in the morning and just be like, things are okay. Look at Harry. It's just such a nice face.
You mean the shot of Harry's face with the crosshair on it?
Like, dude, I mean, that was pretty genuine.
You're like, and by the way, again, like just so long and held out, and you're just like, Come on, do it.
Shoot him.
Come on,
he was pulling the, like,
you know,
if you've ever shot a gun, like that's pretty close.
I feel like that did it. And you're just like, he didn't do it. And you're right. Like they learn he's more than just a beast. He's more than just an animal. But at the same time, you know, I got feelings for my dogs and everything, or an animal too. But when it's literally destroying your house and all of your shit, and you're just like, I'm not saying like you put a price on life, but I'm saying, you know, You're going to tell me that you're just going to be like, do we got some trank darts or something? Can we put him down for a little bit, you know?
You work at your dad's gun store.
Yeah.
I don't know what your wife does. Maybe, like, her family's well off or something like that, but you can't be making that much money.
Yeah. You got to, you know, you're Griswolding around in that damn Grand Squire or whatever it was. And, like, come on. Come on, you got to tell me that you're going to do something about it. At least wing the bird.
Yeah. I do like, though, that it's kind of a cool cinema thing where it's fun to realize that they wake up probably around like 5:30. Like that's when all this is taking place, like within a half hour. And then you see the sunrise coming up and Irene coming outside. It's a cool, like that's hard to do in a movie. I feel like we're just to like tell that time or maybe even make the audience not realize that it's actually almost sun up. I thought that was super impressive. That can't be easy to do. Just that kind of time frame, you know, all those gags are just happening in the span of like a half hour to 45 minutes until the sun comes up and Irene, another abominable person comes
in. Presence in her own right. Yeah. I just want to say as it's the sexual tension between all these members of the family, John Lithgow most certainly.
Yeah.
He's fallen for this guy, this really big hairy lug. He's fallen for him. Obviously, Ernie is too.
It's like I think George... John Lithgow's character, it like doesn't have any friends because even at the gun shop, like no one likes him.
No.
You know, he doesn't like have any male friends. So I think when Harry comes into his life, it's just like, I've got it now. Like I got the guy to play pool with. We're going to start a bowling league, you know,
right.
Like it's that kind of thing, you know, like I just feel like he's been such a family man and been like trying to get this family together and on track. And then finally that male companion comes into play and he finally found it.
That is deep.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
I think that in all this,
we in all reviews everyone's seen the sexual tension. I'm just saying.
It exists.
We finally have friends.
Yeah. We're going to play pool after this.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the things that like on talking about George, I think one of the big things is he's not the outdoorsy huntsman that he kind of tries to present himself as, right? Like even in the very beginning, Nancy says to him, like, he's like, oh, I love roughing it and the great outdoors. And she said something about like, oh, the roughing it. Like the worst part was when this and this came unplugged or died, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And like, he's got his gun and, you know, he'll go and hunt. And then we find out, you know, he's an artist and that kind of stuff. He didn't really like working at his dad's gun shop and that kind of thing. You know, he's not a killer. He's not
the hunter.
He's
a lover. He's a creator.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he wants to be like his dad. I think because they have some tension, obviously, as we'll see later on. But yeah, we'll get to that
for sure.
All right. So naming the Sasquatch Harry, George tries to lure him into the station wagon with food, but Harry sees through the deception and disappears into the city. Saddened, the family resume their normal lives, but sightings of Harry become more frequent as media fervor heightens. George tries to find Harry and visits the North American Museum of Anthropology to speak with Dr. Wallace Wrightwood, while the legendary hunter turned Sasquatch tracker Jacques Lafleur finds the Henderson household. After an argument with his father at work, George quits his job, just straight up. George soon follows a Sasquatch sighting into the city while the police deal with apprehending multiple vigilante Sasquatch hunters. The terrified and confused Harry, meanwhile, continues to evade hunters as he attempts to find safety.
So earlier we kind of forgot to mention Jock, but he's kind of been like haunting or like hunting this movie the entire time. But he's straight up running what I assume is a national forest or a national campground,
like a state park type thing.
when they're a family just camping and they do have guns, but I'm just saying he's carrying around his gun, doing like military exercises,
sniffing license plates,
licking hair. Yeah. Fucking like, you know, sniffing license plates and shit.
Sniffing the lace.
He had to have been.
I'm just if you saw this dude, if you saw this, a wiry Frenchman walking around and not walking around, running around with a loaded gun, you'd be like, what the fuck are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
Take it easy.
Did they, maybe I just didn't pay attention. Was there much explanation of literally this guy's hunting for a creature that doesn't exist? I mean, is there some insanity there? Did they really...
You know how many shows there are of Bigfoot hunters and Sas? You could ask them the same question.
We are going to talk about this in the Patreon episode.
Don't worry about that. The thing is with this, just like if Sasquatch existed, we would know about it.
Yeah. Well, Jacques apparently does because he's dedicating his whole life and time to trying to find this guy.
So part of what I caught was in a conversation with George and his dad. They recognize Jacques when he comes in to buy that ammo, that freaking elephant ammo They call it like a 358, like Magnum, yeah. whatever. They got one box of it.
Could take down a Tremor, maybe.
Yeah, you just
exactly. Graboids, sorry.
It's Graboids. And, like, it's such a... He's this big game hunter, and they're like, yeah, he's the one who took down Claws or whatever, the yeah. bear behind him. And he's like, well, what did he do to part with that? He's like, well, it was the smallest one. So he's clearly like, oh yeah, he's the real deal, right?
So he's bored.
So he's super bored. He wants the next big trophy.
Okay, gotcha.
And I feel like that's kind of what it is.
Okay, okay.
I don't know.
I like when he does visit. What's his name? Wood.
It's Dr. Wallace Wrightwood.
Dr. Wrightwood. When they go and visit that guy, Jacques goes to his shop and it's just like, guy who owns the Bigfoot shop says he's done with this life. He's done with this stuff.
Yeah.
He's just not going to have any more of it. He's just say, Jacques, you're crazy. Meanwhile, he owns a shop filled with Bigfoot paraphernalia. And like, I assume that's his life.
Yeah.
He just has his whole life savings built into this yeah. roadside attraction yeah. for Bigfoot.
For but he's done with it. Well, I love it. Like, you know, he's probably, I bet he's actually doing better than he thinks. He's got jackasses like Jacques LaFleur and George Henderson.
George is back
like,
to back.
And he literally says, like, look, if you want to talk shop, then you better shop. He's just like, he corralled him into walking out with a bunch of like memorabilia.
Yeah. Did you catch that when George is in there and he says, is Bigfoot really weird? And he says, well, I've never seen, how come we never found one? He goes, well, you never seen a baby pigeon, have you? But oh, I reckon they're all over the place. So I had to look that up.
Okay.
Like, are there baby pigeons?
Yeah.
There are baby pigeons.
Of course. Okay.
However, you don't see them because it's largely due to the fact that squabs, which is apparently what they're called, as if ashamed of their appearance, stay in the nest for a very long time. The nestling period from hatching to fledgling typically lasts more than 40 days, wow. roughly twice that of most garden birds. So they're just getting fed and getting eaten and getting their foods. Yeah. So by the time they leave, they appear basically fully grown and virtually indistinguishable.
I imagine, too, they don't have feathers yet. Right.
No.
Like not a lot anyway. And it's just like that guy reminds me of just like having dreams when I'm naked. And it's just like, I wouldn't want to be seen.
I'm not
either.
Going anywhere.
This yep. Pink, like fucking wrinkly raisin butt cheek man running around. Like, I don't want to be seen for 40 days.
I lived at home till I was 32. So I totally understand this. Okay. Yeah. I'm 33 now. I finally got my own place.
Rad, dude.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks, I forgot to tell you that. I'm proud of you.
With that Patreon money.
Hell yeah, dude.
That's right, baby. When they lose him, we find out, by the way, George is not a Harry is not a vegetarian. He's a pescatarian.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So
kind of shocking.
Yeah. And you're like, especially the goldfish. It's like, that's a living thing. And you were bent out of shape about the stuff on the walls.
Fish don't have feelings.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It's okay to
that's
eat
very
fish because fish don't have any feelings.
The Bible says so.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. And,
praise him.
Praise Kurt Cobain.
It's because it's Seattle.
It's a lyric. Okay. I don't know. Okay. Yeah. Grunge era. Yeah. Perfect. Thank you. Bring it around full circle. So, but then he tries to lure him in with like the fish sandwiches and stuff like yeah. that. And he's like throwing him in the back seat and he gives him the name and it's a very touching, there's some very touching moments in yeah. this movie. And one of them happens when he's explaining to Ernie, like why we can't just keep him around, you know? And then sure enough, more damage done to a car and Harry's on the way out.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's obvious, like the point of the movie is like, you know, humanitarianism and like, keeping the animals not extinct, you know, the ones that are really, really important, you know, mm-hmm. I guess deer don't count or fish apparently. But, yeah, that's kind of the point where it's like, we can't keep the wild animal with us. It's the whole Tiger King shit, you know, like mm-hmm. that, the whole politics between that and, which is kind of a cool message and kind of a cool thing to like relate that to a kid right at that point and everything. It also gets me super fucking hungry every time I see just a bag of burgers.
I know.
Like, it made me so hungry when I was a kid watching this for the 12th time. I was just like, there's something about just a brown bag
of burgers
with wrapped burgers in it. I'm just like, this is going to be a good night.
I know. You know? I'm going to be able to eat as much as I want, yep. be completely fine with it, and then hate myself tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not eat the fish, though.
No. Did you guys buy the relationship between M. Emmett Walsh and John Lithgow?
Not whatsoever.
I didn't either.
Because he's like 10, only 10 years older.
I didn't know that, but I'm watching this going, man, they're like kind of the same age, aren't they? No. And then you look it up. Yeah, they were. Lithgow was only 10 years younger.
I love M. Emmett Walsh.
I do too.
He's in so many movies. He's that guy in like every movie. Raising Arizona, he's just like a really small bit part. Blood Simple, he's super good in.
Christmas with the Cranks.
Yeah. Great movie. Oh my God.
It's like one of these.
Wait, did you see? Are you mean?
Oh my God.
Are you mad that I.
I'm like clasping my pearls right now, Mike.
I'm so confused. Like, I can't tell if Sean, super film buff, is mad that I brought that up or if he actually loves that movie.
I'm very mad that you brought that up. We're moving on. Don't ever say that again.
Don't ever say Christmas with the Cranks. He just said Raising Arizona. I'm like, Christmas with the Cranks?
Yeah. Very good comparison. You know that one guy and that one thing? No one knows about that one. I'm sorry. When I first watched, when I watched it as a kid, I thought it was just his boss. And like, this is the first time that I watched a movie where he's like, the first line he says to him is like, what's that? Who was that, dad? Like, just to make sure the audience knows.
Exactly. Know? They had to confirm the relationship of son, father to son, rather than employee to boss.
And I don't know about your guys' like dad and grandpa, if like they're still around or anything like that, but I've never saw my dad or heard my dad call my grandpa dad.
Okay.
Ever.
Oh, okay.
I think you grow out of that, right? Or maybe you graduate to father or like man.
Yeah,
father man.
I don't know. And maybe it was just like their relationship. I was like, they're pretty similar in age. Maybe it was that when he just like he said dad. It was just kind of shocking to my soul. I don't know.
They're both actors who had reached a specific age. And then they didn't age anymore.
That's very true.
John Lithgow is one of those actors. And Emmett Walsh looks
the same still today.
Absolutely. He looks the same in this movie as he does in Christmas with the Cranks.
Yeah, dude.
Can we just say Knives Out or...
Knives Out.
I thought for one second you were like, dude, I really love that movie.
I like
him. Yeah, we fooled. You know, when Harry is on the loose, like, I think for me, the funniest, weirdest, awesomest scene is with the turkey. There's a turkey in the on the stove.
Oh, yeah. It's
and
so good.
He looks at the turkey in the boiling water, and then he looks at these fat old people getting in a hot tub, and then he looks back at the turkey, and then he looks back. That was,
like I say,
that was just so weird and didn't need to be a part of the movie.
It made me question, like, yeah, but which one is he concerned about? Who is he concerned about? The turkey or the humans?
I think the turkey.
I think he was concerned about the turkey. Like, oh, they're killing this turkey. But then he's like, but those old people look fine. So maybe the turkey's not dead.
Yeah. I seriously was. I thought he's concerned about, the turkey. Yep, the turkey. And then I like that he gets called out by some dude. He's like, in all honesty, it's like he can't really put it together. He's just like, I got to walk away.
I got to go.
This is
too much. And then you get called out by some guy's like, hey, get out of there. Somebody, like he's a peeping Tom or something like that.
I think the first house he runs into or whatever, it's just like that sleeping couple in bed, and the woman is just so ready for an intruder. Like she's already awake, like waiting for it. Like it's just like Richard Ramirez is out again, you know?
Yeah.
But she like, I'll go check it out, honey. You stay here. She pulls out a fucking revolver, just like willy nilly. He's like, you had that ready to go, just like Ernie did earlier. I'm like, Jesus.
I know. Yeah. She says to the husband, nah, don't worry about it. And he's like, thank God. Because you know what? She probably does this every fucking night.
Oh, yeah. Right. Any noise. Any dog, any fucking meow from a cat. You're just out there with your fucking pop gun.
Exactly. You've got cats, lady. There's going to be house noise. Okay? And she goes around and she puts the gun down. Thank God.
We finally get a glimpse of that dick.
Yes, right.
It looks like a dick on the. Like, she thinks it's a mouse and it's like his toe. But I'm like, I think that might be his cock.
I think that might be the sass cock. Basketball situation about something just lays on the ground.
Exactly.
Oh God,
it's got you. I mean, look how far, whatever her name looked down on the ground. I'm just true. Saying.
I can't with that.
But Sascox.
Maybe that's why he was really hurt by this rolled up paper. Slap the head and just the toe of that.
That's what I'm saying. Man. It says equally painful. Edit ladies out there. It's all right, I'm done too.
But she slaps the toe and like he's very taken aback. I'm sure it was just more of like a scare than like he really got hurt.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah.
We've got all these dudes who are coming in. They're trying to buy guns. They're trying.
Yes.
He says we got the big guns. We don't have the big ammo. And you got dudes running around town like it's some sort of escape from New York shit. Like
totally.
Like post-apocalyptic. One of the funniest scenes for me, for again no reason at all, and this is again why I can't tell what kind of comedy is happening here, is when they're like, "Hey, you, stop, get back here!" And runs into all this side, all this debris and like car parts and stuff, and they pull some random dude out like, with a gun. And he's just like, "What the fuck is going on?"
You know how much I paid for this?
Yeah.
It's all ADR.
Yeah. Yes.
And then George's like, thank God. And he's like, and then behind him is Jack LaFleur.
Yeah.
How many people are in this debris?
Well, this is like the point where I'm just like, oh yeah, this is King Kong, obviously. And,
okay.
And I mean, also the bike guy who witnessed Harry, right? And then George goes and calls him out and stuff like that. I always thought, like, that was kind of like a sad scene. I always felt bad for the bike guy for some reason. I'm just like, he just wanted to be on TV. You know, he's a lonely bike. He's like, he's probably just got back from the IPA store. And just, you know, wanted to get home and then had a traumatic experience. And I don't know. I just felt bad for him. And
poor guy.
George had to ruin his 5 minutes.
I didn't feel bad for him. I didn't feel bad for him at all.
As a kid, I did.
Okay, all right. Your kid self, I apologize too, but for you, I'm not going
That's
to.
That's fine.
Because he was trying to do this thing, and he made Harry out to be a monster.
That's
and
true.
George is like, no, that's not what happened. You're being a jerk, and you messed up, and now you want the fame on TV. Because back then, being on TV way big.
Like that's the 15 minutes of fame they talk about, like legit famous.
Right. So if you get your face, you were on the news, whew, man, that was a big deal. So, and just like the commercial that we see Harry see, and he sees George, mm-hmm. and he breaks down the thing, and he pulls it down. By the way, when the cops come in and they crash,
crash test dummy
yes, commercial yes. after, and they even show the big red target thing, yeah, and yeah. I was like, why did they do that? I barely caught it. I was like, that's a crash test dummy commercial.
Yeah. I bet he directed that one.
You think so?
Yeah, I gotta imagine. Like, yeah, because he did a lot of SNL and, like I said, and amazing stories for Spielberg and stuff like that. I gotta imagine he probably did a commercial like that or something like that.
All right, so after a car chase involving a garbage truck, George saves Harry from LaFleur, who is arrested. George invites Dr. Wrightwood to dinner. He urges the Hendersons to give up on Sasquatch as it has destroyed his life. He then meets Harry, restoring his enthusiasm. Bailed out of jail, LaFleur heads to the Henderson house. George and Harry escape with Dr. Wrightwood in his truck, and LaFleur gives chase. Fleeing back to the mountains, George tries to force Harry to leave, going so far as to punch him in the face. Confused and upset, Harry departs.
So when this scene kind of takes off, they get away in the garbage truck, and I think LaFleur is left in like the garbage can or dumpster itself, and all those cops are pointing guns at him, and they show such restraint when he puts his hands up and he has his gun pointed at them with his hands up. I'm just like, anybody else, they would just be fucking firing on your ass. Oh my God, you know?
Seriously, like
the Portland police or Seattle.
Hey, Seattle, bro.
They're doing good things up there, apparently. Because even the police chief says, I assume he's a chief or who's in charge, and he says, he says no force, no use of force.
Yeah.
He's like, because I don't want some nutcase in a Bigfoot suit bleeding out on the street. Yeah. It's a harsh way to put it. But true. So they're not actively trying to necessarily take down the Sasquatch. They're out concerned by all the freaking rando dudes who've never held a gun before running around with fucking guns.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's what
true.
You should be concerned about.
I like how the same police chief, he's like, follow that garbage truck.
He didn't see him get in. He didn't see, it just takes off. And you know,
there's a garbage truck. We gotta follow it.
Follow that thing. He's like, why? I don't even know.
They aren't en route right now.
That was the same garbage truck that Shredder got killed in.
They could smell the dead body.
Did you have some flashbacks to your childhood, David?
You had goosebumps.
I hated the, I might be jumping ahead, but there were two things that I really hated in this scene that just felt like, come on. There was when Dr. Wrightwood is at dinner and he finally gets to meet the Sasquatch, and then Harry falls through the floor and hits the pool table and all the pool balls go in the pockets. Yeah. I was like, did we have to do that? And the same thing for like,
why not?
I just didn't like it.
Again, I can't tell what kind of comedy is going on
here. I don't know. Did we have to do that? And then like, I mean, I didn't hate this as much because it was kind of funny, but I was just like, man, my kid self probably loved this, but I didn't. The police siren gag when they were Chinese.
I laughed so hard when I was five.
Dude, yeah, exactly. But now you're like, no, these people aren't pulling over. Yeah.
They don't see that massive head making that noise out of that station. No, it was on the other car. But
everybody was on their cell phones texting. Yeah, exactly. They didn't hear that siren. They weren't paying attention.
It's rare that like they're not even going to move out of the way for the sound. They have to see the lights before they're going to do anything.
Totally.
You know, I have to make mention of my favorite scene because I know we skipped it, but I have to go back real fast. Is when they really invite him back in and they get him the bath and Encino Man again, and he comes back and it's just the close up on his face during the Addams Family.
Yeah.
Absolutely hilarious. Somehow creeped me out a little bit. It's a little bit too spooky, but I was just like, at the same time, probably because of the Addams Family.
Yeah.
But I was like,
they're creepy and they're kooky.
They're creepy and they're kooky. And like, I love that they kind of realize like what they're doing. They're like, it's not a big deal. Going back, this is also when he's still concerned about that damn car. And he's just like, he's so upset about his paint job during the siren scene. I give up on the car, George. It's okay.
The car is long gone, you guys.
Let the car go. Let insurance worry about that.
Well, dude, in the same vein of like them washing him up and everything like that, and the doctor like straight up leaves and then comes back with like a sleeping bag and then puts it right next to Harry's nest. And I'm like, honestly, man, you just met this guy. You just confirmed that Sasquatch is real, let alone just one. There might be others, you know. Mm. We don't know how sexually frustrated he is.
Right.
How, like, what his orientation is, anything like that. Right. Sleeping right next to him, he just like, I don't know, maybe take it easy on just like,
right.
I love Sasquatches. I'm just going to sleep right next to him once I find,
maybe give it a bit.
Maybe they could be very aggressive. I don't know.
Right. You ever heard the stories about dolphins? Peaceful creatures till they get roused up.
They do it for pleasure, man.
Then they just start humping you into submission.
Yeah.
It's real bad.
Ew.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Don't swim with dolphins.
Don't swim with the dolphins or walk the hills of Portland or Seattle with Sasquatch. I don't know. That's right.
How sad though, like the scene where he's telling them to leave, like, and like, go, get out of here.
Straight up. I tear up every time. We've done an episode of I'm Super Stoked podcast of movies that make you cry with Mike. Go check that out.
That's right.
That one isn't a whole movie that makes me cry every time, but that scene, I don't know what it is. It's like letting go of a dog. It's like earlier when Ernie tells Lil Pup. Is it Lil Pup?
It's like Lil Bob or something like that.
I've never known. There wasn't subtitles available for this one, but like that broke my heart. And then when he comes back, it's like really nice. But this, it's just like that. It's just like, you gotta go, man. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, we're like best friends now, but you gotta go. I'm just like, fuck. And then he hits him straight up, fucking socks him in the face.
But he's doing really the right thing. He's like, you gotta go, but it hurts.
Yeah.
You can kill every human being in every movie ever, and I will never be sad.
No.
The minute I watched I Am Legend and I saw he had a dog, I'm like, fuck, god damn it.
Yep,
the dog's gonna die.
I know this is coming.
And I'm like, I don't want this.
Yep. I didn't sign up for this.
The whole world was zombies and I didn't give a shit.
Correct.
But that damn dog.
The dog.
Same thing, man.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's super sad.
It's a tough one to swallow. But you know, this is finally, you know, John Lithgow is the standout acting chops and
100%
presence. He's very over the top. I mean, honestly, sometimes it feels like he's trying to save the movie himself.
But, I kind of agree with that, even though I know our ratings are going to be super different.
I know, but at this point, this is when you really get his kind of shine through moment, and it's tough for him. And the, man, I'm telling you, maybe he's just really upset that he's losing a friend. Maybe he's just upset that they're not going to get to like make out. I don't know.
we
don't know. But you know,
never play pool.
They never got to play pool and eat wings.
He broke his pool table.
Eat wings and fish sticks together, and yeah. And you know, maybe spoon and see where it goes. You know.
All right. So final scene: the family does not leave when they realize that LaFleur can track Harry's footprints in the snow. So the family splits up and makes fake footprints in the snow to distract LaFleur. LaFleur eventually catches up with the Hendersons, but Harry saves the family and captures LaFleur. Through Harry's kindness and George's faith, LaFleur changes his mind and decides that Harry deserves to live peacefully. The family says goodbye, and George and Harry embrace in a hug. George tells him to take care of himself, to which Harry replies his only line of the movie, Walker, revealing he has the ability to learn language. As Harry leaves, several other Sasquatches, including an infant, suddenly appear and then quickly disappear into the wilderness together. The end.
So I forgot to mention earlier when Harry's apologizing to the daughter about eating her corsage, brings her a bunch of flowers, Irene's flowers. His like send off or like hug, quote unquote, before he realizes he knows what a hug is just taking someone's head and pushing it until their feet come up too. Like just straight leveling people is his sign of affection.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. Yeah. So it'll come back again later. But I also like the shining touch of the footprints in the snow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah,
little touch there.
7 years earlier. Okay.
It's a good point. Like his sign of affection is basically the bro punch in the shoulder, but on steroids. It's like you say,
like, oh, you big lug, but he just completely levels people.
Yeah, you just smacks them around. Oh my God.
Do you know how long it would take to carve stones into footprints and then tie them to your feet?
I do not. Do you know?
Yes. Okay. It takes about an hour and a half per foot.
Okay.
And they did like six pairs of feet to make them look like Sasquatch feet.
Well, okay. I thought this was like, didn't they? Maybe.
Because they had his truck. Right. So maybe he had him in his truck.
Oh, maybe he already had him.
That's what I thought.
Oh, right?
Okay.
Like that was my thing. I was like, it took me, but I was like you. I was like, what the fuck are they using? They're just strapped rocks to their feet. Where'd they get all these flat rocks?
What the heck is going on?
And I'm like,
he just had inventory in his truck.
Then I was like, this doesn't make any sense. But then I thought back to that. Like over the top noise of them filling a Sasquatch footprint.
Put our best mic on that thing.
About that. I totally
put that SM7B straight to that bitch.
And that's what I remember it. But I shouldn't have had to think that hard about it.
No, they could. It's an hour and 50 minutes long. They could have had one scene where they're like reaching into a truck and grabbing them out the back.
Maybe omit the pool balls going into the hole and put in. Oh, good. Donna Mesh has actually pulled these out because he's a Bigfoot enthusiast and he has them in his truck.
Right.
Maybe we can do that.
Right.
Okay. Please and thank you.
I mean, all that played through my head. I don't know about you guys. I guess you're just not really smart movie watchers. Nope. I guess.
As we established when we started this podcast, Sean is the film buff. He knows these things. We don't. We're idiots.
It was a subliminal, like, they didn't have to film it for me. You know, it was just,
Sean was like, you know what they should do? They should grab the Bigfoot things that they have in the back of the truck. They did.
There we go. Straight I knew up. That.
Oh, I saw that happening. Yeah.
I'm so glad that they didn't take him. I felt like the whole time, like, he's going to flip on him. He's going to become a bad guy and stuff. And then, that was a surprise to me.
It did feel that way, actually, that he was going to be some bad guy kind of thing.
He was going to be like, good, now I've got my opportunity. I'll be vindicated and justified, and I'll take the glory, that kind of a thing.
Okay.
I really felt that coming along, but he was like, he turned out to be a good guy, which I'm so glad because... You know, him in like Trading Places and like some other movies, like he plays a good bad guy.
Yeah.
He plays
the false good guy.
The false good guy. That's right. So I really expected that to happen. But what I also didn't expect to happen is them to turn Jacques LaFleur, the most quintessential Frenchman's name on the planet, That's bordering on racism, I swear. But they're just like, yeah, Jacques Lafleur, and then they turn him into a good guy?
Just immediately.
Love conquers all, man.
I guess
so. What the fuck? You know, like, when he's in his arms, how could you not be, like, swoon? Maybe I'll use that word. Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah. Swoon by Harry. I mean, we see George get swoon. How could you not be just like, oh yeah, I do feel nice in your arms. You stink like shit, but I do, like, you know, I do feel the love tonight. Well, you know,
so does Jacques apparently too.
Yeah,
so.
they all do.
Yeah, it's his performance in that, like, always made me like sad for him when he's begging for his life. Pretty much,
yeah.
He thinks Harry's gonna kill him. And I don't know why that his performance there still, even to this day, I'm just like, God damn it. You know, like, imagine hunting this thing your whole life and now it's there with you. And all you've thought about is wanting to kill it. And now it's so nice to you and you think it's going to kill you.
Yeah.
Like, you've probably thought about this moment, but, and then it turns out to be a good guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
I buy it a little bit, but
yeah. Don't you wish that would happen to these rich billionaires that go to Africa and shoot lions? But it doesn't happen.
Can we just get along?
No. They're like, I'm going to kill this lion.
Yeah.
Fuck those guys.
Yeah, bro.
Fuck those guys.
But then he does give us a like sign of affection to Jacques Lafleur and completely levels him too. Yeah.
So then I'm thinking like, oh, cool. So he's like reformed. He's not really going to do this anymore. He's like, so what's next for you, Jacques? He's like, I'm going to go fucking kill Loch Ness Monster now. Because that one doesn't have any feelings. His fish don't have any feelings.
That's right.
Fuck that.
You know what? I'm taking Harry along with me. He probably is a good fucking hunter too.
That's right.
Brought that shit around. That was awesome.
There it is.
And I guess last thing for me, I didn't remember how all of a sudden the Sasquatch family is just there.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, they're just standing right there.
Yeah.
And I did rewind it, mm-hmm. and it's just like, oh yeah,
there's that one.
They're right. I can see them. They're right there.
But the first watch, I'm just like,
well, yeah.
Where the fuck are these things coming from?
Well, see, so first time really watching it, I was totally taken aback. I actually thought it was a super cool thing. I thought it was a super cool shot. And like I love the play, the psychological play on it. Like,
so he's not alone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to be sad for him.
Yeah.
There's, I've seen these things on TV where, like, you know, like the TV magic shows and stuff where they say, focus on this. And then like things happening around on the screen, you never notice because your focus is drawn somewhere. So your focus is on Harry. And then these guys come out of out of nowhere, apparently. And I thought it was really cool. I actually thought it was one of the cooler shots of the movie as a first timer.
Do you remember those magic books that you had to just like cross your eyes before things would pop, 3D things would pop off the page?
Yeah. Same idea,
dude.
You spend forever in the freaking doctor's office staring at it on the wall and you never get it because you just don't care that much.
Yeah, they were in doctor's offices. I remember that.
If this movie was like real deal down to earth and everything, and it was like kind of like a real portrayal of how Sasquatch are, I would imagine anyway that scene would go a little bit different. Just maybe the wife being like, Harry, where the fuck were you this time? don't give me an excuse. You were with a fucking family that hit you with their station wagon. Don't give me that excuse again. I don't want to fucking hear it. I've been trying to feed little Harry this entire goddamn time, and you've been gone out doing God knows what with George. You fucking with George now?
Oh yeah, oh, you were just down hanging out with George. Oh yeah, just gonna go do 18 with George. Okay, sure. Just down playing pool with George. Well, who is it this time? John Carruthers? Huh? Yeah. Oh, I was just hanging out with Smith. It's a different guy every time. He's moonlighting, you know, he's just not into it with his wife anymore. Yeah. Obviously there's a sexual tension between him and George, and it's just like he's kind of out hunting for that way, and he's like,
by the way, job. I'm pregnant. Go get a fucking job, Harry.
Well, George just quit his job at the gun store. Maybe Harry can take
a position.
There you go. Can I propose that the little Sasquatch name is Larry and not Harry?
I like it.
I like that.
Can I propose that?
I like that. I appreciate
little
that.
Little Larry Sellers.
You know, a lot of people didn't know that Larry actually grew up and followed in his father's footsteps into stardom. And he was the Sasquatch in Tenacious D. Pick a Destiny.
Damn, really?
A lot of people didn't know that, but yeah, it was him.
Confused Breakfast dropping bombs of knowledge.
Yeah.
That's for you guys.
There you go.
Unbelievable.
I know.
Well, is that all you want to talk about? Should we hit those ratings?
Yeah.
All right. Modern day ratings. What we do is we give you those childhood ratings and then we rewatch as critical of an eye as we can. and then we give you what we think now. So this is Sean's movie, so he has to go first. Sean, what is your modern day rating?
So I was like a 9.2 back in the day. You were a
9.2 back in the day, bro.
I still think this movie is really charming. I think John Lithgow is super good. I think the makeup is one of the best on-screen makeup effects I've ever seen, honestly. Like, I was super impressed this time. You know, as a kid, it's just like, yeah, that's Sasquatch. But this time, I'm still like, that's Sasquatch. Like we said, I just don't see the seams. It's super impressive. I think it's not like as funny as I probably thought it was as a kid. Just, you know, all the family gags and everything like that. But I still think it's like clever and funny, like the chicken and the hot tub scene. It's super clever. Yeah, I mean, I just like it. It's probably kind of in the realm of guilty pleasure for me at this point. But I'm a 7.8.
7.8 today. Yeah.
Right. Age, what do you think? First time seeing it. What? So this is just your rating. Yeah, what is this movie?
Well,
that checks out.
I do know what AJ's lowest score so far has been. It is a 2.4, Three Ninjas. So
okay,
you have to base it off that.
Okay. You know what? As much as you've probably felt me throughout this and gotten the vibe off of what I've been saying, I will tell you what I do really like. I'm a big John Lithgow fan. I'm a big fan of, I can never remember her name, Mom.
Melinda Dillon.
Okay. Big fan of Melinda Dillon. The makeup and the costume, amazing. The story I could follow if it was like a half hour shorter. That all being said, probably the reason I would rewatch this movie again is to see if they show any Sasquatches in the background standing in plain sight.
Oh, damn, bro.
That is why I would want to probably rewatch this movie. I would like, they have director's cuts of movie. I would like the opposite of that of this movie. So it should not be an hour and 50 minutes long. It should be an hour and 20 to 25 minutes long. That's my opinion. The heartfelt moments. So going off of that, it was not the easiest movie for me to like watch this many times in a row. That being said, I'm going to go ahead and do a 3.2.
Oh, he dragged that out a little bit.
I know. I'm sorry.
I thought you were going to do like what your critics did, be like, yeah, I hated this movie. 10 for me.
Yeah. I wanted to, but I was like, I can't do it.
I just didn't remember much of this movie. It was weird. Most of the movies we've seen, I remember things jarred my memory. Like, nothing jarred my memory in this of, like, oh, yeah, I remember that. So I think I was just deathly afraid of Bigfoot and Sasquatch, okay. And I just didn't really like this movie. So I was a 4. I think that's where I am right now. I would probably watch it again and get like you to use your added Sean, like with some friends and like hanging out and just, it was just kind of like a cliche 80s movie that I didn't have any nostalgic feelings for. So it can't like make me go, well, but God, dude, I remember me and my brother watching this. So just like, it's just a 4 for me, you know,
I feel
it's just,
that.
Okay. Just basic.
You know, what's coming to mind right now actually is, this movie is 1987, a huge year for movies as we're going to be touching on, in this entire show. This feels like an early 90s, like 93, 94 movie.
Kinda.
Okay, right?
Yeah.
That, like, every time I watch it, I was like, is it not 90s? No, it's like prime 80s. It's like when like movies were the best they've ever been, you know? Yeah. And maybe that's I think that's kind of a flaw to it. And I do kind of agree with you guys. I do definitely agree that it's way too long. But yeah, I just love it.
You're allowed to. That is the best part. Yeah. Is you are allowed to.
Absolutely.
Like, we will hit movies where I probably feel the same way that you do, but you're going to be like, Mike, yeah, this was the biggest hot piece of garbage I've ever seen. Which, for the record, I did not say. So go easy on me when we come back to mine.
Yeah. No. Just as entitled to your opinions as I am.
Yes, yeah. I know. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. As of the recording in early May 2021, you have to purchase this on a streaming platform or subscribe to HBO Max,
right,
which you should have already done so that you can watch the new Mortal Kombat, you idiots.
Totally.
And continuing with the weekly content, tune in next Wednesday. We'll bring you another amazing information-filled mini-bite episode. We're going to talk about some of the favorite and best snack foods from the 90s as kids. Nostalgia overload. You won't want to miss that one. And in 2 weeks, we'll be back to reviewing classic movies. AJ made a pick based on some polls and suggestions from our Patreon members.
Yes, sir.
Uncle Buck.
Yeah, dude.
John Hughes all the way, baby.
You know you love some Lord John and Savior. Hughes and John Candy, baby.
Yes.
So I think that's about it for us. AJ, why don't you take us out, man?
Guys, thanks so much for listening to the show. And while you were listening, you took that time to review us on the podcast platform that you're listening on, or at least subscribe. Yeah. Give us a thumbs up if you're on Spotify and subscribe to those so you can make sure to get them downloaded right away when they drop every single Wednesday. Make sure you're following along with us, too, on Facebook, Confused Breakfast, Twitter, Confused BeFast. Then Instagram, Confused Breakfast, and of course TikTok at Confused Breakfast.
TikTok,
where you get all the fun little tidbits along with what's going to be some more fun Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, man.
Okay. If you guys feel like giving us a little bit of money and supporting us in that way, you can go to the Confused Breakfast on Patreon and join that community there, because lots of fun stuff going on there, and you will get some extra content like
we're going
to
hit stop on your dumb little episode and then give you the best stuff Patreon thing. You know what I mean?
That's right.
This is just for free people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You get the best little nuggets right on Patreon. You also get to tell us what movies you want to hear next on the show and vote on those and have a voice in this show, as well as get some feedback, give us some feedback for what you want to see for some merch.
Yeah, baby. Cause merch is coming.
Last but not least, if you haven't yet, we know you haven't, make sure you leave us a voicemail. It's 319-804-9596.
Dang it! 9596. I thought you were going to nail that, dude. 319-804-9596. You just finished the episode. Call it right now.
Boom.
I promise. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. This is a great movie.